So in Vietnam, we had 2 weeks in Hanoi and 2 weeks in Ho Chi Minh, and it was teaching teachers about modern pedagogy, really. It was 6 units of work we had about how to get to know your students, how to do student-centered learning assessment, but with a real formative assessment focus, and classroom management, and all of these things which the Vietnamese government is actually realizing that their curriculum is far too prescriptive and not actually preparing their students for the future.
Welcome to the Rethinking Learning Podcast. I'm Barbara Bray. This is where I have conversations with educators, leaders, and change agents about their passion to transform teaching and learning. Welcome, everyone, to the Rethinking Learning Podcast series, Conversations on Learning. Today, I'm going all the way to New Zealand. I'm talking to a wonderful person, Lee Hines. I'm feeling so lucky that we were able to get the time zones together so we could talk. So Lee, let me tell you a little bit about Lee. Lee Hines is from Taupo, New Zealand, and I had to get the pronunciation right, Lee?
You do. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Let me tell you some more. She's been employed by the University of Waikato as a digital fluency facilitator since 2013. And her role is working in schools to build capability in using digital technologies. Her long background in secondary school teaching and leadership have led to a commitment to enhance learning using digital technologies. And lucky me, I got to go to New Zealand in May and learn more about what she's doing. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you very much. It was so lovely to have you here.
Oh, I had so much fun. I know I work there, but it was also fun to be with you and your team and learn so much. So I thought maybe we'll start this with if you can share a little bit about you, your family, and maybe your background in New Zealand a little bit. Just kind of tell us what's going on there.
Sure. Barbara, in New Zealand, when we introduce ourselves, we have a little ceremony called a mihi, where we introduce ourselves, starting with our mountain. So I'll do that quickly. Ko rua pehu te maunga, ko mangawhero te awa, ko Lee Hines aho. And what that's telling you is basically that my mountain is rua pehu. It's the mountain that I identify with and where I've been brought up. And mangawhero is my river. So we start with the biggest things and we go down to smaller significant things, and that's me. And you can go right into a bit of a cultural discourse, I suppose, about your family, where you've come from. And that's very important in the Māori culture in New Zealand.
Before you go on and tell, I didn't understand that until when I was there. And Micah, and you start, that's how you led every meeting.
We do.
It was beautiful, and I wish we did more of that. So go on, tell a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so New Zealand is a bicultural nation. It was founded when the Europeans came to New Zealand. They had an agreement called the Waitangi. I've forgotten the name of it. But anyway, they made an agreement with the Māori people and founded the bicultural nation, and that's why we do acknowledge both cultures when we get together. A little bit about myself. I have two beautiful daughters and a granddaughter. I have a lovely husband, Dan, who's not related to them, but I like him anyway. My two girls are living in Perth with my granddaughter, so I don't get to see them anymore, which is a bit of a shame. I will catch up with them at Christmas. I have a background of, I was actually trained to be a microbiologist, believe it or not.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, when I left university, I worked in Wellington as a microbiologist, and I ended up marrying someone who lived in the middle of nowhere. And so I went to a couple of the schools and I said, oh, I've got these science degrees. Do you need any science people to work for you? And they said yes. And from those sort of that strange entry point, I worked my way through the years up to become, well, in 2012, I was the deputy principal at the school that you visited. Do you want to hear a little bit about my career right now, or are you just family right now?
Well, you can do a little bit about your background, because I know I went to the school where you were the deputy principal, which I found out by seeing the trophy in the in the case there.
Right.
I had no idea.
Right. In 2012, like I'd been in senior management for the last 10, 12 years, I suppose. But in 2012, I'd been offered a job to work as a digital technology facilitator. And I was DP at the college at that time. And in fact, I finished the year there as the acting principal because the principal that we had went on leave. And so I did actually leave as the principal of the school, although that wasn't my main role there over the years.
Can I just say one thing? Because I don't think my audience in the United States understands the difference between college and university.
Oh, right.
What that means. Maybe could you explain that here, why you're talking about it?
Okay, so in New Zealand, our terminology is probably a little bit different. Secondary school is also known as college here. And when you go to university, that's not called college anymore. That's called university.
Yeah, it was confusing for me. And I just think that it made so much sense when I was there.
Right, yeah. Clarifies all the misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'd been lucky enough to, because it was an isolated school, like it's pretty much in the centre of the North Island, so you don't have a lot of connections with other schools, and I was lucky enough to be part of what we call the VPLD, Virtual Professional Learning and Development. And so I had a mentor, and I sort of learnt a lot from the mentor just by setting my own goals with her and moving forward in that way. And that's how I got into digital technologies, using it in science, because I had no background in digital technologies before, but I suddenly realised the power of digital technologies, and I started using video with my students and getting them to make videos, and they were just instantly engaged, and it really helped them with the content of science, which is can be quite enormous if you don't have a good solid background, I suppose, in science.
Well, I love that you brought it in, and we can talk more about the school a little later because we're going to talk about a few of the schools we went to. But what I see with your, the way I got to know you was on Twitter.
Yeah, I'd learned a lot through social media, I think.
Well, it was fun how I was at Twitter, what, 3 years ago, I guess, or in Denver? Was it in Denver? Yeah.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, and I go to the Hacked, and I was in a circle, and this lady kept looking at me funny.
I was that lady.
And so she's tweeting out, and then she's tweeting me. She goes, "Oh my God, it's Barbara Bray," like that. And I went, "Oh," I didn't know I was famous.
When I started working for the university, I remember in that year we had somebody presented us with the personalized learning, now I've forgotten, the chart.
The PDI, yeah, personalization, differentiation, individualization chart, yeah.
And that was so helpful in helping us get schools and teachers to understand the difference between individualization and personalization. And so I always knew that Barbara Bray and Kathleen McCluskey had done this, and when I saw her name at ISTE, I thought, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be fabulous to see her? And the first, one of the first workshops that I went to in the Hacked day was one where I saw Barbara across the room, and I quickly took a secret photograph of her and said, oh my gosh, the famous Barbara Bray just across the room from me. And I think that's where ISTE was so fabulous, to meet all these wonderful people, and I was so excited. In fact, the first person that I saw was actually Daniel Rezac, who I'd met through social media. And I was sitting in the big welcome hall, I guess, and turned around and he was sitting right behind me, and I jumped up and said, oh my gosh, Daniel Rezac, I'm Lee. And we had a selfie together too. So it was so exciting to meet you, Barbara, and I felt really privileged to meet lots of awesome people there.
Well, that's what social media does. And what was so cool is as soon as you put it out, it popped up on my phone. And I'm looking around, I'm trying to figure out who is this doing that? And then I, you know, saw you and I realized, I know you, but I never met you in person. And then I was walking down the hall and then you were with Ann Canelli, who I just love also, you know. And it was almost like one of these love fests. We started screaming at each other. So what I find is that the piece that is beautiful about technology and the digital technologies and social media is the connections you make.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And having that sense of connecting right across the world is just so fabulous for our learners today.
Oh, and we're learning ourselves because I don't know about you, but I learn every day something new. And when I, you know, met you and Anne, and then I met you and your team and others in New Zealand, I just felt this is a beautiful connection. And for me, it opened my world. And so when I went to the University of Waikato and met Jan and everyone is so nice. I mean, it was the most pleasant, warming 2 weeks that I think I've ever had. I just want to let you know, I loved it. Everyone just reached out and wanted to share. And
they felt the same about you, Barbara.
Oh, and I was lucky Cynthia Sistick Chandler came with me. And Cynthia is going to be on this podcast show too, hopefully. We want to get, and Anne maybe. But the main thing is that I learned a lot about your university and what you're doing. Can you kind of share a little bit about your role and their mission and what Jan shared? I thought it was really great.
So for the past 4 years, I've been working in schools across New Zealand to help build capacity for e-learning, as you explained. And the Ministry of Education here actually provided free professional learning for teachers throughout New Zealand for some schools, not for all, just for some. But it has been my job basically to lead the team in the Central North Island that did that in the past 4 years. But this year things have changed a bit. It's a whole new environment for us, and the ministry have, I suppose, devolved responsibility away from us and back into the schools for their own professional development. So there is a little bit of provision by the ministry for the schools, which we are able to work with. But basically, we've gone down from a team of probably over 70 down to about 40 people because there's just not the work around. Well, there's not the money coming from the ministry anymore. It's going directly to the schools, which will bring its own set of problems. But that's another whole other story. So this year is the first year that I've been working sort of out of the direct money flow from the ministry. Instead, the university has committed to employing a lot of us to go and work in schools still. We can work for the ministry money, but we can also do what we call direct to schools work, where the schools will pay us directly from their funds. And we also have a little bit of bits and bobs from all over the place. So you'll be aware that recently I went to Vietnam and worked with teachers over there. So my job is very different this year to what it has been for the last 4 years, but it does give me a little bit of variety, and hopefully there'll be work beyond.
Well, you mentioned Vietnam. I was going to ask you that later, but you and Mary Jameson went, because Mary's done that some time, and you were there a long time.
For a whole month.
And you're doing the same thing. You're teaching digital technologies, right?
No.
What is it? What were you?
So in Vietnam, we had 2 weeks in Hanoi and 2 weeks in Ho Chi Minh. And it was teaching teachers about modern pedagogy, really.
Yay.
So, yeah, it was the, we had 5 units of work, or maybe it was 6 units of work we had about getting to how to get to know your students, how to do student-centered learning assessment, but with a real formative assessment focus, and classroom management, and all of these things which the Vietnamese government is actually realizing that their curriculum is far too prescriptive and not actually preparing their students for the future. So they're looking at changing things. And we were actually working in a private school, but I know that, you know, there is a possibility that that may develop into a sort of nationwide work.
Wow, that's a whole nother podcast on its own.
It is.
Yeah, just to talk about that and maybe bring Mary in too, because that would be, it is pretty exciting that schools around the world are, and governments are trying to look at new pedagogy and how to transform teaching and learning, because the whole world is changing.
Well, so. In Vietnam, although the focus was on modern pedagogy, I was slipping a little bit of digital technology in here and there, as you do, because that's the modern world, isn't it? And the teachers really loved that. And I always think back to the video from Andreas Schleicher, who talks about all countries actually are looking at the education system. And he was talking about China is actually looking at getting a more creativity-based learning system going on in their schools. And when you think of China, you think of their industry and how they have the industry-based model of learning. But they too have realised that they can't go forward with their economy based purely on industry, because it's going to be so automated. And so they are looking at how can they change their education system as well. So even the countries that you think are behind in terms of pedagogy are moving. So if there are any people out there who still haven't woken up, it's time to do it.
Yeah, we have to. Well, I have to say, when I visited the schools, the K-8 schools, because we didn't see any high schools, but what I saw is that all your schools are autonomous, and many of the schools, and including the New Zealand curriculum, is completely different than what we have in the United States. It's, I don't know if you want to, you know, talk a little bit about what the curriculum is like, and then maybe mention, we can go into some of the schools.
Sure. New Zealand, we consider ourselves really lucky because we have not a very prescriptive curriculum. It is a curriculum framework, and it's up to each school to look at their own community and decide what is important for our students and build a curriculum within that framework. We have key competencies, which are really the most important part, what we call the front end of the curriculum, is the most important part of our curriculum. It's developing thinking skills, being able to participate, etc. There's key competencies. Actually, they spell out Trump. I hate to say it, but they do. Thinking, relating to others, understanding text, managing self, and participating and contributing. And it spells Trump.
Well, maybe you might like that. So, you know, the main thing is what you're doing is what we're talking about in the United States and other countries are talking about, these key competencies and skills that we need. But what I saw is I saw even little ones self-directed and independent when we went to visit the schools.
Yes.
You know, maybe even describe one of the schools, because I was blown away.
So we took you, Barbara, to a school called Te Kōwhai School, and the principal there is Tony Gray. And he is probably one of the leading schools in New Zealand, because he's really, their school is known for the ILEs, the innovative learning environments, where the students aren't sitting in classrooms in rows, etc. They are in large spaces, and they're all doing different things depending on what they have chosen as their goal for the time. He's got a lot of support from his community, and he's had to build that up over the years. So it's very much a long process to actually gain the confidence of parents, because they want their children to be taught the way that they were taught, because that's what made them successful. So you do have to educate parents and community about what the future might look like, and therefore how we need to make sure that our students are prepared for their futures. Te Kōwhai School, they have large open spaces, and we watched the students actually on a day that they had a relief teacher in, and they had several relief teachers in, if I remember rightly, and the students were just going about doing their business because that's what they were used to. They were not used to their teacher telling them exactly what they had to do and when they had to do it, and they could talk about their learning, couldn't they?
Oh, it was amazing. All ages, and they couldn't wait to tell us.
That's right. And I remember you got stuck in one of those little rooms because, not that you were stuck, but you stuck yourself in there because those students were so interested in telling you about what they were learning about. So I missed that conversation. Perhaps you can tell us about it.
Well, it was a small little nook, but there must have been 12 kids in it, and they were seventh or eighth graders or both. And they were working on their passion projects that they work on all year long. And they all wanted to tell me what the project was. And there was one that wanted to learn Greek, the Greek language. And another that wanted, I can't remember all of them, but I wrote them down. So I'll share some of those when we write the blog post. And I have a picture of it, but not of me, which is good. It was of them. I even got a video of them talking because they didn't want me to leave. What was neat is that when you give them voice and you encourage them to work on a project that they're really interested in, they're so motivated. It's amazing.
And the other school that you would have visited would have been my old school, and that is a secondary school. They have, since I've left, they've actually got huge support from their local iwi, which is their local tribe, their Māori tribe. They have put a lot of money and investment in to develop kind of a huge learning hub, which the community actually come into as well. And they are free to develop their own passion projects, I guess, around digital technology. So they're doing some coding in there, or they're using... they're doing some robots, and I haven't seen it yet. I've heard a little bit about it, but unfortunately I didn't get to go on that day.
Yeah, but I did.
Yeah, so tell me more.
Yeah, well, I there was a one class, I can't remember the teacher's name, but the kids were working in pods and talking about, they were working on some of the coding projects. And so I walked around, well, of course, because of who I am, they wanted to tell me everything, and pretty soon, you know, everyone's saying, "Well, Barbara, we have to leave." I go, "Oh, no, but I'm not done yet." Look at this project that they're doing. I mean, the kids were so excited, and it's just amazing that if we could just give them the opportunity and the time to really explore and discover what their purpose is, like if they really love coding, let them give them some time. And that looks like that's what your school did.
Yes. So at the moment, I'm working in Wellington every month on the Ministry Change and Enablement Committee for the new digital technology curriculum. And that's all about coding and computational thinking and robotics and things like that. So it's being able to bring it out into the education system in New Zealand so that every teacher has the capability to be able to use coding or use computational thinking and use the digital technology in their teaching and learning with their students. And so we're working on getting that up and ready so that the teachers can use that at the beginning of 2018. So that's exciting.
Yeah, there was also, you know, you have a teacher that's at that school that you were at who, I have it out here, Kiwana.
Kiwana, yes.
Kiwana, who I tell you, I would steal him in a moment. He was just amazing with the kids. And he had the kids take apart digital devices and then bring them back, take apart programs and review them. I mean, he really got them to think.
Yes.
About things. So it was an honor to be there and to talk to the teachers and the children and learn a lot about what you're doing. And I'm excited about, because coding is like a new language.
Right. Yeah. It's a different way of communicating. So, these are the things that are happening in some New Zealand schools. And what we're trying to do is get things happening right across New Zealand schools so that we get those good practices happening everywhere. And as you know, good things take time.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, this is just probably the beginning of one podcast and a blog because we want to get the stories out. I haven't had an opportunity to put all the pictures up because I probably have thousands of pictures of visiting your beautiful country. but one that you mentioned was Tony's school. And I do want to be able to share more about what they're doing and he's doing, because now he's a lead learner or lead administrator helping other schools. And that's an interesting strategy that your ministry is doing.
Yeah, so we have two probably recent developments. One is what we call COLS, C-O-L-S, which are communities of learners. And that's where principals from a school from a group of schools can be appointed as the lead principal, and you have teachers who work right across a group of schools. So generally speaking, a group of schools around between 8 and 12, and they are getting together, and that's where all the money basically has gone from my job, my old job, into these communities of learning. So it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing for me, but it's not serious. We'll work with it. And the other recent development that we've had is the announcement from the government about what we call COOLs, C-O-O-L, Communities of Online Learners. And so the government has put the ability for schools to develop online learning communities as well. Before this, we've had a little bit of online learning, but not much. Now it's a bit more set in concrete that students can get together online to learn, say, a new language like Chinese, which it's not easy to find a teacher of Chinese in a lot of our schools, especially those isolated ones.
Well, when you talked about going to Vietnam, you mentioned China, so you never know, you might end up there also.
You never know. Anything could happen. Anything could happen in the next couple of years. You have to watch the space.
Yeah, well, I try to keep the podcast to a certain time, and mainly just to get a kind of an overview of what you're doing, and you did that. It's just, it's overwhelming knowing that you're kind of stretching yourself by going to Vietnam, but also changing the direction with some of the digital the work you're doing now with coding and everything. But I don't think that's going to end.
No, I think I'm one of those awful beasts called a lifelong learner.
Well, you know, I'm there too. So, yes. Lee, this has just been wonderful. Thank you so much for, you know, sharing your life and also inviting me to come to New Zealand. Like, I that was that really meant a lot. I learned so much, and I hope I can come back another time, because it's just, I kept coming back to my friends when I told them what it is like in New Zealand. It's like, you know, everyone says it's on my bucket list. I says, well, it should be number one on that list, because it's amazing. The idea of it being a bicultural country, really. Nobody else is doing that really like that. And it was just really warm and beautiful. And the culture, the way that everyone is inviting, and even the nose to nose.
Yes, the hongi.
Yeah. Everything. You just feel so good about it. So do you want to add anything else before we go?
No, it's a privilege as always to talk to you, Barbara. And I'm very excited and happy that I have met you in my life.
Oh, you don't know. It's like when you meet some people, you say, I've known her forever. I know it. And so I'm glad you reached out and took that Twitter, that picture of me, and put it up on Twitter. That was great.
Don't forget those Hobbiton pictures as well. And
oh, yeah, we went to Hobbiton.
And I have a picture, a video of you in front of the spinning wheel. And remember that everyone thought that you looked like Bette Midler. They thought Bette Midler had come to town.
Well, we made it fun.
We did.
It was wonderful. And this was wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining Rethinking Learning Podcast. This has been a wonderful conversation with Lee Hines. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning Podcast and my conversation with Lee Hines. Make sure you visit barbarabray.net to learn more about Lee and all the work she's doing around digital technologies. And we're going to put all those resources we talked about on the blog post that goes with this podcast. So please subscribe so you can join the conversations.